This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ عِلْمًا وَقَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي فَضَّلَنَا عَلَى كَثِيرٍ عباده المؤمنين.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وحشر لسليمان جنوده من الجن والإنس والطير فهم يوزعون. صدق الله العظيم. Before I endeavor to expound and elucidate on today's verse and the subsequent verses, just a quick reflection, my brother and my sister. The hadith of Tirmidhi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, one of the beauties of the Quran, la yukhlaq an kathrati ar-rad, that repetition doesn't allow for monotony. Anything else you repeat, it becomes boring and monotonous. By Allah, this is a clear-cut miracle of the Quran. I cannot explain this emotion. With the grace of Allah, Allah has allowed me to teach, to give commentary, to read, to research, you know, over the years. But the beauty just baffles you. It's just mind-boggling. You could read and learn, and it's and you can never reach the depth. You can never reach the depth. That is how profound. Wallahu a'lamu bil asrar al-mudaa fi kitabihi. And only Allah knows the hidden secrets and the mysteries that is in the Quran. And what we know is illa ka qatratin, it's just ka rashhatin fi jambil bihar, it's just like a spray or a droplet compared to the ocean. So okay, verse 17, we are in the thick of the discussion of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam. Wa hushira li Sulaiman junuduh, and on a particular day, one instance, wa hushira li Sulaiman, and for Sulaiman alayhi salam, his armies were mobilized. Okay, call the army. You got the army, and then there's a coup, and then this one overthrows that one, and then, you know, so much happening in the world. Look at the richness and the vastness of the army of Sulaiman alayhi salam. What did his army comprise of? What was the makeup of? وَحُشِرَ لِسُلَيْمَانِ, and the armies of Sulaiman were mobilized, were gathered, were assembled. جُنُودُهُ مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ وَالطَّيْرِ, the jinnat, the humankind, the birds, فَهُمْ يُوزَعُونَ, and due to their volumes and their multitudes, they were restrained. So يُوزَعُونَ literally means يُمْنَعُونَ, they were halted. And this was an indication to the enormity and the huge nature of these armies. So you know, when the group is very, very big and huge, then you have to stop those in front to say, let the back, you know, just come up together, and then we could move together in a whole group, and then probably you'll have, you know, different naqib and ru'asa and leaders, and someone holding a banner or someone holding, you know what, some sign or symbol to keep everyone together. I mean, we've seen it in the days of Hajj, etc., and the volumes and the groups of people, etc. So, وَحُشِرَ لِسُلَيْمَانَ, the armies of Sulaiman were gathered, were mobilized. Junuduhu, the plural of jun, min al-jinni. And again, the scholars say that when Allah spoke, one is the humans, right? So human, number one, his was much more vast than any other king, because there is a view that is also suggestive that Sulaiman alayhi salam ruled over the entire world, though this had happened gradually. And I'll explain at some point why and how, as the scholars explain. But at one point, like Dhul Qarnayn, meaning wherever he went, he was the unanimous ruler and accepted. And many say, of course, with Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam as well. So in the sequence of the makeup of his armies, the Quran starts off with the jinnat. Min al-jinni wal-insi wa-tayri. Why jinnat and then birds afterwards? Because they say to control and regulate the jinnat is more difficult than domesticating birds. It's still easier. I mean, even humans can domesticate and control and regulate. Of course, one bird, two birds, it identifies with its owner, it would respond, etc. But for him, it was the whole, you know, kingdom of birds, etc. But the jinnat, one jinn gets into a person And you know what? His sanity is not stable. وَمِنَ الشَّيَاطِينِ مَنْ يَغُوسُونَ لَهُ وَيَعْمَلُونَ لَهُ عَمَلًا دُونَ ذَلِكَ وَكُنَّا لَهُمْ حَافِظِينَ. And from the jinnat who would dive down into the ocean, and then they would draw for him, you know what, from the oysters, pearls, etc. And they would engage in other arduous tasks. يَعْمَلُونَ لَهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Whatever he wants. مِمْ مَحَارِيبَ وَتَمَاثِيلَ وَجِفَانٍ كَالْجَوَابِ. كَالْجَوَابِ is the plural of the word jabia. Right? They would make sculptures. They would make huge buildings. They would make huge pots. وَقُدُورِ الرَّاسِيَاتِ. Qudur is the plural of the word qid. Rasiyat, firm anchored. So he could just nominate and delegate. You know, sometimes a person says, I wish I had a jinnat in my control. I could dispatch the jinnat. Or you lie down on your bed and now you need to off the light or lock the door or bolt it. And you say, oh, now who do I call? How do I do it? I wish I had control over a jinnat. Those are human things, how people want, you know, and assume. Allah had given him jinnat and they would carry out. وَكُنَّا لَهُمْ حَافِظِينَ. And we would protect them so they couldn't stray, they couldn't rebel, they couldn't transgress in any way. So there you have it, verse 17, speaking of the empire, the kingdom of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, he had made that dua, رَبِّ هَبْ لِي مُلْكَ لَا يَنْبَغِي لِأَحَدٍ مِّن بَعْدِ. Allah, give me a kingdom and an empire that nobody else can have anything of that nature in this world. And indeed. And that just reminds me of that other story that Allah speaks as well in chapter 38, but maybe inshallah we'll discuss it further. Let's move on here with what follows in chapter 27 here. So for whom yuza'un, they are restrained, meaning their volume, their numbers are so much. And then what happens furthermore? Verse 18, حَتَّى إِذَا أَتَوْ عَلَى وَادِ النَّمْلِ. So Sulaiman alayhi salam with his entourage and his armies and comprising of humans. And sometimes you get these grandparents, they're taking out the children, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, and there's this whole fun fair and event, and the old man or the old lady will say, you know, we came, it was only two of us, and then we had 10 children, or we had 7 children, and then Allah blessed us with 27 grandchildren, and now Allah blessed us with 15 great-grandchildren, and we started our life as two. Allah says, وَمَا بَثَّ فِيهِمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ جَمْعِهِمْ إِذَا يَشَاءُ قَدِيرٌ. It is Allah that has spread you out on the earth, and it is Allah that will one day assemble and gather you. Yes, it was two of you, and then it became 10 with 5 kids or whatever, and then so many grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and then their partners and the rest of it. Subhanallah, Sulaiman is moving. There's this whole presence of jinnat, one side. Then there's this whole human army. Then there's this whole bird's worth. وَحُشِرَ لِ. Can you imagine the spectacle? Can you imagine the spectacle, right? One was the Qaruni tariqah and one was the Sulaimani tariqah. Qarun also came out with wealth, but it was only humans. But it was pomp, glory, opulence, pride, arrogance, conceited, inflated, arrogant. No. This was humility. This was humble. This was amazing. I cannot begin to imagine the richness of the spectacle. وَحُشِرَ لِسُلَيْمَانِ وَحُشِرَ لِسُلَيْمَانَ جُنُودُهُ مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ وَالطَّيْرِ فَهُمْ يُوزَعُونَ. So where do they pass by? Who do they cross? حَتَّى, verse 18, حَتَّى إِذَا أَتَوْ عَلَى وَادِ النَّمْلِ. Until they come by a valley of ants, a colony of ants. And this is why the chapter is known as Naml. تَسْمِيَةُ الْكُلْ بِإِسْمِ الْجُزْ. The entire chapter is named behind one incident that features in that chapter. So Baqarah, in that entire chapter, Allah speaks about an incident pertaining to Baqarah. The whole chapter is not about Baqarah. Ankabut, chapter 29 in the Quran, the spider, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the powers, or the so-called powers in this world, they're just like a spider's web, man. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ. These people who you assume as your helpers and protectors. كَمَثَلِ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ. It's like a spider that spun its web. اتَّخَذَتْ بَيْتًا. وَإِنَّ أَوْهَنَ الْبُيُوتِ لَبَيْتُ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ. And you know even the nest of a bird is stronger than the web of a spider. And that's what Allah says, your strength is like a spider's web. لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. If only they realize. وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالِ. These are the analogies, examples. نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ. We present it to people. وَمَا يَعْقِلُهَا إِلَّا الْعَالِمُونَ. But it is people of knowledge and wisdom that comprehend. May Allah make us from amongst those people that can comprehend and understand the analogies of the Quran. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 18, حَتَّى إِذَا أَتَوْا عَلَى وَادِ النَّمْلِ. Sulaiman alayhi salam and his entourage, they pass by a valley of ants. قَالَتْ النَّمْلَ. Oh my word, I hope I can stimulate in you the excitement to study Quran, my brother and my sister. Because how much can I tell you in one episode? Hatta, until, I cannot begin to tell you the ecstasy and the euphoria that it gives me. Hatta idha atu ala wadi naml, until when they came to the valley of ants or the colony of ants, qalat namla, one ant spoke. Nah, you know how small it is. Now, again, you could see, and the scholars have written, and you know, you study animal zoology and scientists and research, that as small as the ant is, it is a very, very disciplined creature. It has a lot of system in it. It has a lot of mutual network in it. It has a superior to whom they follow. It has planning. It has coordination. It has mutual support and structure. It's written, and I mean, I was just fascinated about how amazing this creature is. Suffice to say that Allah labels a chapter, and this is the beauty of the Quran. So the Quran is not a book on zoology, but in its scope of guidance, it incorporates it. It's not a book on astronomy, but in its scope of guidance, it incorporates astronomy. It talks about astronomy. وَعَلَامَاتْ وَبِالنَّجْمِ هُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ. It talks about the stars and how people navigate. So it's not there to tell you animals. It's not, but it will give you a lesson from everything. وَإِنَّ لَكُمْ فِي الْأَنْعَامِ لَعِبْرَةٌ. My word, how can this be man-made? La ilaha illallah. This is just deep. Wa inna lakum fil an'ami la ibra. There's so much for you to learn from an animal. Nuskhikum mimma fi butuniha min bayni farthin wa damin. Just look at the cow and look at the cattle and look at the milk that you consume. We give you labanan sa'igan lisharibin. Sa'igan, palatable, wholesome, beautiful milk. Min bayni farthin wa damin. Between the dung and between the blood, between two impurities, we allow for the flow of clean, wholesome, pure milk to come, which is one of the most wholesome drinks of humans. What did our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teach us when we drink milk? Allahumma barik lana fihi wa zidna min. Allah give us blessings in it and give us more of it. Wow, how wholesome is milk? How wholesome it is. Wa inna lakum fil anami, chapter 16, verse 14. My brother, my sister, you know, Shaykh al-Hind rahmatullah alayhi said, فَكَّرْتُ وَفَكَّرْتُ وَأَنَا فِي السِّجْنِ لِمَاذَا نَرَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ الْيَوْمَ أَصْبَحُوا فِي دِينِهِمْ صَاغِرِينَ. Why has the Muslims fallen so low? مَا الَّذِي صَيَّرَهُمْ إِلَى هَذَا الدِّمَارِ الْإِجْتِمَاعِ. Why have they lost their clout and their muscle? Why is the wind out of their sails? He said, I gave, you know, prolonged thought to this, and I've arrived at two conclusions. Number one, hajruhum al-Qur'an wa shiqaquhum fima baynahum. Because globally, the Ummah has abandoned the Qur'an, and internally, the Ummah is fragmented. Two things have destroyed this Ummah. They've left the Qur'an, so they don't have a moral compass. Number two, internal bickering has fragmented them. Okay, verse 18, حَتَّى إِذَا أَتَوْا عَلَى وَادِ النَّمْلِ. And honestly, I try and limit myself, but I cannot just tell you the beauty of Quran. So they come to a valley of ants, a colony of ants. قَالَتْ نَمْلَ. An ant said. Now again, oh my word. So there's Arabic grammar here, and there's a question here. Was this ant a masculine ant or a female ant? Yes, this features in the tafsir. Now, you know, I have an eye for wildlife. In certain animals, it's quite pronounced, the bull from the calf or the male from the female. But in certain animals, it's quite difficult. Your giraffe, it's you know, some way it would be more dark, more clearer, etc. Some places the organs will be loudly distinguished from male and female, but sometimes it's quite difficult to make it out. And even, you know what, a person who is a keen hunter or into wildlife or a safari, avid safari goer, even he would have his challenges to find out exactly what is the gender here. So it's mentioned in Madarik al-Tanzil and even in Nafhatul Arab that Qatada once came to Kufa. So he said to the people, Saluni amma shi'tum, ask me whatever you want to. Imam Abu Hanifa at that time was 12, he was 12 years old. Imam Abu Hanifa said, let me ask you, in Surah An-Naml, chapter 27, right, verse 18, Allah says, qalat namla. the ant spoke, was that ant that the Quran references, was it masculine or feminine? Now, the complexity of the whole thing is Namlatun has a ta. The star commonly is known as a symbol of feminine. But here this is ta'i wahdat. This is ta'i wahdat. Because the word Namlatun in Arabic is like the word hamama, which is for pigeon, or shatun. One word is used for both male and female. There's no different noun that distinguishes male and female. But rather, it is the verb that precedes it that will dictate whether a male is been referenced or a female. Qalat namla. And when Sayyidina Imam Abu Hanifa asked this question, for afham, he was startled. He was dumbstruck. He was lost for words. He's like, oops, I asked them to ask me any question. And the first one, it was like middle stump, I'm gone here. And then Imam Abu Hanifa said it was a female because the verb preceding the noun indicates qalat namla. My word. Oh, this is Quran. This is Quran. Qalat namlatun. So this ant said to the fellow ants, Ya ayyuhan namlu dkhulu masakinakum. O ants, enter your dwellings. And here again we learn, the scholars tell us, the communication that the Quran conveys, which Sayyidina Sulaiman intercepted through his comprehension, was a very dignified communication. It was a communication of dhawil uqul, like how humans would speak to humans. It was very respectful engagement and talk. You know, sometimes you overhear children talking, I'm the doctor, you're the nurse and the patient, and then, hello, hi, you are most welcome. Okay, please, can you refer to our reception to settle the account? And you're like, oh my word, you know what? Guard your lips when children are listening, for children repeat the things they hear. Let no ugly tone be heard, no careless talk, no angry word, for it is a gracious sin to mar the innocent. Language vulgar or unkind leaves its mark upon the mind. So let your speech be wise and mild in the presence of a child. Like, you clueless of how they picking up every detail. Do you accept debit cards? And you just sit in there and you're showing eyes to one another, like, listen to this one here. Okay, I'll pay half cash. And I'm like, wow, what's this? So Sulaiman alayhi salam is listening to this whole thing playing out. Ya ayyuhan naml, O ants, udkhulu masakinakum, enter your dwellings. La yahtimannakum Sulaiman, la yahtimannakum Sulaiman. Let it not be that Sulaiman and his armies crush you. Wahum la yash'urun. And they won't even realize they're crushing you because they're so mighty and you're so insignificant. And in Bayanul Quran it is written, look at the intellect and the wisdom of this ant. Wahum la yash'urun fihi mura'atu husnil adab. In that is the indication of the adoption of respect. So when the ant communicated to the fellow ants in its colony to enter the dwellings, alerting them to the mighty presence of the entourage of Sulaiman, it did so in cognizance of the respect and the necessary decorum afforded to Sulaiman. He will crush you, he will crumble you, but he won't even realize it. So it's not going to be deliberate. It's not going to be malicious. It's not going to be premeditated. It's not going to be intentional. But they're so huge. They're so amazing. And they might just walk and crush you. So listen, take shelter, take cover. The ants respond and they go into their dwellings. Let's wait and see what unfolds.